Hey, Farrey is sitting in for Malloy. The debate's going on. McCain is just stepping up now to say what he's going to do about the economic crisis. Enjoy. I'll be back.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to the lion of the Senate. I also want to thank the University of Mississippi for hosting us tonight. And, Jim, I've been not feeling too great about a lot of things lately, so have a lot of Americans who are facing challenges. But I'm feeling a little better tonight, and I'll tell you why. Because as we're here tonight in this debate, we are seeing, for the first time in a long time, Republicans and Democrats together sitting down, trying to work out a solution to this fiscal crisis that we're in. And have no doubt about the magnitude of this crisis. And we're not talking about failure of institutions on Wall Street. We're talking about failures on Main Street and people who will lose their jobs and their credits and their homes if we don't fix the greatest fiscal crisis probably, you know, certainly in our time. And I've been around a little while. But the point is, the point is, we have finally seen Republicans and Democrats sitting down and negotiating together and coming up with a package. This package has transparency in it. It has to have accountability and oversight. It has to have options for loans to failing businesses rather than the government taking over those loans. It has to have a package with a number of other essential elements to it. And yes, I went back to Washington and I met with my Republicans in the House of Representatives, and they weren't part of the negotiations, and I understand that. And it was the House Republicans that decided that they would be part of the solution to this problem. But I want to emphasize one point to all Americans tonight. This isn't the beginning and the end of this crisis. This is the end of the beginning if we come out with a package that will keep these institutions stable. And we've got a lot of work to do. And we've got to create jobs. And one of the areas, of course, is to eliminate our dependence on foreign oil.
All right. Let's go back to my question, how you all stand on the recovery plan. And talk to each other about it. We got 5 minutes. We can negotiate a deal right here. But, I mean, do you favor this plan, Senator Obama? Senator McCain, are you in favor of this plan?
We haven't seen the language yet. And I do think that there's constructive work being done out there. So for the viewers who are watching, I am optimistic about the capacity of us to come together with a plan. The question I think that we have to ask ourselves is, how did we get into this situation in the first place? 2 years ago, I warned that because of the subprime lending mess, because of the lax regulation, that we were potentially going to have a problem, and tried to stop some of the abuses and mortgages that were taking place at the time. Last year, I wrote to the Secretary of the Treasury to make sure that he understood the magnitude of this problem and to call on him to bring all the stakeholders together to try to deal with it. So the question I think that we've got to ask ourselves is, yes, we've got to solve this problem short term, and we are going to have to intervene. There's no doubt about that. But we're also going to have to look at how is it that we shredded so many regulations, we did not set up a 21st century regulatory framework to deal with these problems. And that, in part, has to do with an economic philosophy that says that regulation is always bad.
Are you going to vote for the plan, Senator McCain?
I hope so, and I
believe so. The United States Senator,
sure.
You're going to vote for the plan?
Sure, but let me point out, I also warned about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and warned about corporate greed and excess and CEO pay and all that. A lot of us saw this train wreck coming. But there's also the issue of responsibility. You've mentioned President Dwight David Eisenhower. President Eisenhower, on the night before the Normandy invasion, went into his room and he wrote out two letters. One of them was a letter congratulating the great members of the military and allies that had conducted and succeeded in the greatest invasion in history, still to this day and forever. And he wrote out another letter, and that was a letter of resignation from the United States Army for the failure of the landings at Normandy. Somehow, we've lost that accountability. I've been heavily criticized because I called for the resignation of the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission. We've got to start also holding people accountable, and we've got to reward people who succeed. But somehow in Washington today, and I'm afraid on Wall Street, greed is rewarded, excess is rewarded, and corruption, or certainly failure to carry out our responsibility, is rewarded. As President of the United States, people are going to be held accountable in my administration, and I promise you that that'll happen.
Do you have something directly to say, Senator Obama, to Senator McCain about what he just said?
Well, I think Senator McCain is absolutely right that we need more responsibility, but we need it not just when there's a crisis. I mean, we've had years in which the reigning economic ideology has been what's good for Wall Street, but not what's good for Main Street. And there are folks out there who've been struggling before this crisis took place. And that's why it's so important, as we solve this short-term problem, that we look at some of the underlying issues that have led to wages and incomes for ordinary Americans to go down, the health care system that is broken, energy policies that are not working, because 10 days ago, John said that the fundamentals of the economy are sound.
Say it directly to him.
I do not think that they are.
Say it directly to him.
Well, John, 10 days ago, you said that the fundamentals of the economy are sound. And
are you afraid I couldn't hear him?
No, I'm just determined to get you all to talk to each other. I'm going to try.
And I just fundamentally disagree. And right, unless we are holding ourselves accountable day in, day out, not just when there's a crisis for folks who have power and influence and can hire lobbyists, but for the nurse, the teacher, the police officer who, frankly, at the end of each month, they've got a little financial crisis going on. They're having to take out extra debt just to make their mortgage payments. We haven't been paying attention to them. And if you look at our tax policies, it's a classic example.
So, Senator McCain, do you agree with what Senator Obama just said? And if you don't, tell him what you disagree with.
No, look. We've got to fix the system. We've got fundamental problems in the system. And Main Street is paying a penalty for the excesses and greed in Washington, D.C., and in the Wall Street. So there's no doubt that we have a long way to go. And obviously, stricter interpretation and consolidation of the various regulatory agencies that weren't doing their job that has brought on this crisis. But I have a fundamental belief in the goodness and strength of the American worker, and the American worker is the most productive, the most innovative. America is still the greatest producer, exporter, and importer. But we've got to get through these times. But I have a fundamental belief in the United States of America, and I still believe, under the right leadership, our best days are ahead of us.
All right, let's go to the next lead question, which is essentially following up on this same subject. And mm-hmm. You get 2 minutes to begin with Senator McCain, and using your word, fundamental. Are there fundamental differences between your approach and Senator Obama's approach to what you would do as president to lead this country out of the financial crisis?
Well, the first thing we have to do is get spending under control in Washington. It's completely out of control. It's gone. We have now presided over the largest increase in the size of government since the Great Society. We Republicans came to power to change government, and government changed us. And the worst symptom of this disease is what my friend Tom Coburn calls earmarking as a gateway drug, because it's a gateway. It's a gateway to out-of-control spending and corruption. And we have former members of Congress now residing in federal prison because of the evils of this earmarking and pork barrel spending. You know, we spent $3 million to study the DNA of bears in Montana. I don't know if that was a criminal issue or a paternal issue, but the fact is that it was $3 million of our taxpayers' money, and it has got to be brought under control. As President of the United States, I want to assure you, I've got a pen. This one's kind of old. I've got a pen, and I'm going to veto every single spending bill that comes across my desk. I will make them famous, that you will know their names. Now, Senator Obama, you wanted to know one of the differences. He has asked for $932 million of earmarked pork barrel spending, nearly $1 million for every day that he's been in the United States Senate. I suggest that people go up on the website of Citizens Against Government Waste, and they'll look at those projects. That kind of thing is not the way to rein in runaway spending in Washington, D.C. That's one of the fundamental differences that Senator Obama and I have.
Senator Obama, 2 minutes.
Well, Senator McCain is absolutely right that the earmarks process has been abused, which is why I suspended any requests for my home state, whether it was for senior centers or what have you, until we cleaned it up. And he's also right that oftentimes lobbyists and special interests are the ones that are introducing these kinds of requests, although that wasn't the case with me. But let's be clear. Earmarks account for $18 billion in last year's budget. Senator McCain is proposing, and this is a fundamental difference between us, $300 billion in tax cuts to some of the wealthiest corporations and individuals in the country. $300 billion. Now, $18 billion is important. $300 billion is really important. And in his tax plan, you would have CEOs of Fortune 500 companies getting an average of $700,000 in reduced taxes while leaving 100 million Americans out. So my attitude is we've got to grow the economy from the bottom up. What I've called for is a tax cut for 95% of working families, 95%. And that means that the ordinary American out there who's collecting a paycheck every day, they've got a little extra money to be able to buy a computer for their kid to fill up on this gas that is killing them. And over time, that, I think, is going to be a better recipe for economic growth than the policies of President Bush that John McCain wants to follow.
Senator McCain?
Well, again, I don't mean to go back and forth, but...
No, fine.
We're going to take a quick break because we have to. We'll be right back with more of the debate. Stick around. Hey, we're back. The Malloy Show. We're going to get right back to that debate. Enjoy.
Then you will not see one dime's worth of tax increase. Now, John mentioned the fact that business taxes on paper are high in this country, and he's absolutely right. Here's the problem. There are so many loopholes that have been written into the tax code, oftentimes with support of Senator McCain, that we actually see our businesses pay effectively one of the lowest tax rates in the world. And what that means then is that there are people out there who are working every day, who are not getting a tax cut, and you want to give them more. It's not like you want to close the loopholes. You just want to add an additional tax cut over the loopholes, and that's a problem. Just one last point I want to make. Senator McCain talked about providing a $5,000 health credit. Now, what he doesn't tell you is that he intends to, for the first time in history, tax health benefits. So you may end up getting a $5,000 tax credit. Here's the only problem. Your employer now has to pay taxes on the health care that you're getting from your employer. And if you end up losing your health care from your employer, you've got to go out on the open market and try to buy it. It is not a good deal for the American people, but it's an example of this notion that the market can always solve everything and that the less regulation we have, the better off we're going to be.
Well, you know, let me just...
We've got to go to another leading question.
I know we have to, but this is a classic example of walking the walk and talking the talk. We had an energy bill before the United States Senate. It was festooned with Christmas tree ornaments. It had all kinds of breaks for the oil companies. I mean, billions of dollars worth. I voted against it. Senator Obama voted for it.
John, you want to give oil companies another $4
billion? You've got to look at our records. That's the important thing. Who fought against wasteful and earmarked spending? Who has been the person who has tried to keep spending under control? Who is the person who has believed that the best thing for America is to have a tax system that is fundamentally fair. And I've fought to simplify it, and I have proposals to simplify it. Let's give every American a choice. Two tax brackets, generous dividends, and let Americans choose whether they want the existing tax code or they want a new tax code. And so, again, look at the record, particularly the energy bill. But again, Senator Obama has shifted on a number of occasions. He has voted in the United States Senate to increase taxes on people who make as low as $42,000 a year.
That's
just a fact. Again, you can look it up.
Look, it's just not true. And if we want to talk about oil company profits, under your tax plan, John, this is undeniable, oil companies would get an additional $4 billion in tax breaks. Now, look, we all would love to lower taxes on everybody. But here's the problem. If we are giving them to oil companies, then that means that they're those who are not going to be getting them.
In all due respect, and you already gave them to the oil companies.
No, but John, the fact of the matter is that I was opposed to those tax breaks, tried to strip them out. We've got an energy bill on the Senate floor right now that contains some good stuff, some stuff you want, including drilling offshore, but you're opposed to it because it would strip away those tax breaks that have gone to oil companies.
All right. Speaking of things that both of you want, another lead question, and it has to do with the rescue system, the financial rescue thing that I started asking about. Yeah. And the first answer is to you, Senator Obama. As president, as a result of whatever financial rescue plan comes about, and the billion, 700 billion, whatever it is it's going to cost, what are you going to have to give up in terms of the priorities that you would bring as President of the United States as a result of having to pay for the financial rescue plan?
Well, there are a range of things that are probably going to have to be delayed. We don't yet know what our tax revenues are going to be. The economy is slowing down, so it's hard to anticipate right now what the budget's going to look like next year. But there's no doubt that we're not going to be able to do everything that I think needs to be done. There are some things that I think have to be done.
Hey, we're going to take another break and get out. We'll be right back as soon as we can. Stick around. Farias here filling in on the Malloy Show. Let's get right back to the debate.
700,000 jobs by constructing 45 new nuclear power plants by the year 2030. Nuclear power is not only important as far as eliminating our dependence on foreign oil, but it's also important as far as climate change is concerned. An issue that I have been involved in for many, many years, and I'm proud of the work that I've done there, along with Senator Clinton.
Let me see, before we go to another lead question, let me see if I could figure out a way to get ask the same question a different, slightly different way here. Are you willing to acknowledge, both of you, that this financial crisis is going to affect the way you rule the country as President of the United States beyond the kinds of things that you've already said? I mean, is it a major move? Is it going to have a major effect?
There is no doubt that it's going to affect our budgets. There is no doubt about it. Even if we get all $700 billion back, let's assume the markets recover, we're holding assets long enough that eventually taxpayers get it back. And that happened during the Great Depression when Roosevelt purchased a whole bunch of homes. Over time, home values went back up, and in fact, government made a profit. If we're lucky and we do it right, that could potentially happen. But in the short term, there's an outlay, and we may not see that money for a while. And because the economy is slowing down, I think we can also expect less tax revenue. So there's no doubt that as president, I'm going to have to make some tough decisions. The only point I want to make is this. that in order to make those tough decisions, we've got to know what our values are and who we're fighting for and what our priorities are. And if we are spending $300 billion on tax cuts for people who don't need them and weren't even asking for them, and we are leaving out health care, which is crushing on people all across the country, then I think we have made a bad decision, and I want to make sure we're not shortchanging our long-term priorities.
Well, I want to make sure that we're not handing the health care system over to the federal government, which is basically what would ultimately happen with Senator Obama's health care plan. I want the families to make the decisions between themselves and their doctors, not the federal government. Look, we have to obviously cut spending. I have fought to cut spending. Senator Obama has $800 billion in new spending programs. I would suggest he start by canceling some of those new spending programs that he has. We can, I think, adjust spending around to take care of the very much needed programs, including taking care of our veterans. But I also want to say again, a healthy economy with low taxes, with not raising anyone's taxes, is probably the best recipe for eventually having our economy recover. And spending restraint has got to be a vital part of that. And the reason, one of the major reasons why we're in the difficulties we're in today is because spending got out of control. We owe China $500 billion. And spending, I know, can be brought under control because I have fought against excessive spending my entire career. And I got plans to reduce and eliminate unnecessary and wasteful spending. And if there's anybody here who thinks there aren't agencies of government where spending can be cut and their budget slashed, they have not spent a lot of time in
Washington. But I just have to make this point, Jim. John, it's been your president, who you said you agreed with 90% of the time, who presided over this increase in spending, this orgy of spending, and enormous deficits. And you voted for almost all of his budgets. So to stand here after 8 years and say that you're going to lead on controlling spending and, you know, balancing our tax cuts so that they help middle-class families, when over the last 8 years that hasn't happened, I think kind of hard to swallow.
Quick response.
It's well known that I have not been elected Miss Congeniality in the United States Senate, nor with the administration. I have opposed the president on spending, on climate change, on torture of prisoners, on Guantanamo Bay, on the way that the Iraq War was conducted. Right. I have a long record. And the American people know me very well.
Right.
And that is independent and a maverick of the Senate. And I'm happy to say that I've got a partner that's a good maverick along with me now.
All right, let's go to another subject. Lead question, 2 minutes to you, Senator McCain. Much has been said about the lessons of Vietnam. What do you see as the lessons of Iraq?
I think the lessons of Iraq are very clear that you cannot have a failed strategy that will then cause you to nearly lose a conflict. Our initial military success, we went into Baghdad and everybody celebrated. And then the war was very badly mishandled. I went to Iraq in 2003 and came back and said, we've got to change this strategy. This strategy requires additional troops. It requires a fundamental change in strategy, and I fought for it. And finally, we came up with a great general and a strategy that has succeeded. This strategy has succeeded, and we are winning in Iraq. And we will come home with victory and with honor. And that withdrawal is the result of every counterinsurgency that succeeds. And I want to tell you that now that we will succeed and our troops will come home and not in defeat, that we will see a stable ally in the region and a fledgling democracy. The consequences of defeat would have been increased Iranian influence. It would have been an increase in sectarian violence. It would have been a wider war, which the United States of America might have had to come back. So there was a lot at stake there. And thanks to this great General David Petraeus and the troops who serve under him, they have succeeded. And we are winning in Iraq, and we will come home. And we will come home as we have when we have won other wars and not in defeat.
2 minutes for how you see the lessons of Iraq, Senator Obama.
Well, this is an area where Senator McCain and I have a fundamental difference. Because I think the first question is whether we should have gone into the war in the first place. Now, 6 years ago, I stood up and opposed this war at a time when it was politically risky to do so. Because I said that not only did we not know how much it was going to cost, what our exit strategy might be, how it would affect our relationships around the world, and whether our intelligence was sound, but also because we hadn't finished the job in Afghanistan. We hadn't caught bin Laden. We hadn't put Al-Qaeda to rest. And as a consequence, I thought that it was going to be a distraction. Now, Senator McCain and President Bush had a very different judgment. And I wish I had been wrong for the sake of the country, and they had been right. But that's not the case. We've spent over $600 billion so far, soon to be a trillion. We have lost over 4,000 lives. We have seen 30,000 wounded. And most importantly, from a strategic national security perspective, Al-Qaeda is resurgent, stronger now than at any time since 2001. We took our eye off the ball. And not to mention that we are still spending $10 billion a month when they have a $79 billion surplus. At a time when we are in great distress here at home, and we just talked about the fact that our budget is way overstretched, and we are borrowing money from overseas to try to finance just some of the basic functions of our government. So I think the lesson to be drawn is that we should never hesitate to use military force, and I will not, as president, in order to keep the American people safe. But we have to use our military wisely. And we did not use our military wisely in Iraq.
Do you agree with that, a lesson of Iraq?
No, the next president of the United States is not going to have to address the issue as to whether we went into Iraq or not. The next president of the United States is going to have to decide how we leave, when we leave, and what we leave behind. That's the decision of the next president of the United States. Senator Obama said the surge could not work, said it would increase sectarian violence, said it was doomed to failure. Recently on a television program, he said it exceeded our wildest expectations. But yet, after conceding that, he still says that he would oppose the surge if he had to decide that again today. Incredibly, Senator Obama didn't go to Iraq for 900 days and never asked for a meeting with General Petraeus.
Well, let's go at some
Senator
of these
Obama
things.
Is the chairperson of a committee that oversights NATO that's in Afghanistan. To this day, he's never had a hearing.
What about that point?
I mean, it's
that's
remarkable.
All right.
Which point?
Well,
you raised a whole bunch of them.
Well, no. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to the latter point and we'll back up. The point about you're not having been...
I'm very proud of my vice presidential selection, Joe Biden, who's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and as he explains, and as John well knows, the issues of Afghanistan, the issues of Iraq, critical issues like that, don't go through my subcommittee because they're done as a committee as a whole. But that's Senate inside baseball. Mm-hmm. But let's get back to the core issue here. Senator McCain is absolutely right that the violence has been reduced as a consequence of the extraordinary sacrifice of our troops and our military families. They have done a brilliant job, and General Petraeus has done a brilliant job. But understand, that was a tactic designed to contain the damage of the previous 4 years of mismanagement of this war.
Senator,
and so John, you like to pretend like the war started in 2007. You talk about the surge, the war started in 2003.
Senator,
and at the time when the war started, you said it was going to be quick and easy. You said we knew where the weapons of mass destruction were. You were wrong. You said that we were going to be greeted as liberators. You were wrong. You said that there was no history of violence between Shia and Sunni. And you were wrong.
And so
the question is
Senator
the judgment
Obama,
of whether or not, whether or not if the question is who is best equipped as the next president to make good decisions about how we use our military, how we make sure that we are prepared and ready for the next conflict, And I think we can take a look at our judgment.
We got a lot on the plate here.
I'm afraid Senator Obama doesn't understand the difference between a tactic and a strategy. But the important, I'd like to tell you.
Hey, we're going to go to break right now. We'll be right back after these important messages. Stick around. Hey, we're back. We'll take you right to the debate. Stick around.
In Afghanistan.
Lead a new lead question. Now, having resolved Iraq, we'll move to Afghanistan. And it goes to you, Senator Obama, and it picks up on a point that's already been made. Do you think more U.S. troops should be sent to Afghanistan? How many and when?
Yes, I think we need more troops. I've been saying that for over a year now. And I think that we have to do it as quickly as possible because it's been acknowledged by the commanders on the ground. The situation is getting worse, not better. We had the highest fatalities among U.S. troops this past year than any time since 2002. And we are seeing major offensive taking place, Al-Qaeda and Taliban crossing the border and attacking our troops in a brazen fashion. They are feeling emboldened. And we cannot separate Afghanistan from Iraq, because what our commanders have said is we don't have the troops right now to deal with Afghanistan. So I would send 2 to 3 additional brigades to Afghanistan. Now keep in mind that we have 4 times the number of troops in Iraq, where nobody had anything to do with 9/11 before we went in, where in fact there was no Al-Qaeda before we went in. But we have 4 times more troops there than we do in Afghanistan. And that is a strategic mistake, because every intelligence agency will acknowledge that Al-Qaeda is the greatest threat against the United States, and that Secretary of Defense Gates acknowledged the Central Front, that the place where we have to deal with these folks is going to be in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. So here's what we have to do comprehensively, though. It's not just more troops. We have to press the Afghan government to make certain that they are actually working for their people. And I've said this to President Karzai. Number two, we've got to deal with a growing poppy trade that has exploded over the last several years. Number three, we've got to deal with Pakistan, because Al-Qaeda and the Taliban have safe havens in Pakistan, across the border in the northwest regions. And although, you know, under George Bush, with the support of Senator McCain, we've been giving them $10 billion over the last 7 years, they have not done what needs to be done to get rid of those safe havens. And until we do, Americans here at home are not going to be safe.
Afghanistan, Senator McCain.
First of all, I won't repeat the mistake that I regret enormously, and that is after we were able to help the Afghan freedom fighters and drive the Russians out of Afghanistan, we basically washed our hands of the region. And the result over time was the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and a lot of the difficulties we are facing today. So we can't ignore those lessons of history. Now, on this issue of aiding Pakistan, if you're going to aim a gun at somebody, George Shultz, our great Secretary of State, told me once, you better be prepared to pull the trigger. I'm not prepared at this time to cut off aid to Pakistan, so I'm not prepared to threaten it, as Senator Obama apparently wants to do, as he has said that he would announce military strikes into Pakistan. We've got to get the support of the people of Pakistan. He said that he would launch military strikes into Pakistan. Now, you don't do that. You don't say that out loud. If you have to do things, you have to do things. And you work with the Pakistani government. Now, the new president of Pakistan, Qadari, has got his hands full. And this area on the border is not been governed since the days of Alexander the Great. I've been to Waziristan. I can see how tough that terrain is. It's ruled by a handful of tribes. And yes, Senator Obama calls for more troops, but what he doesn't understand, it's got to be a new strategy, the same strategy that he condemned in Iraq that's going to have to be employed in Afghanistan. And we're going to have to help the Pakistanis go into these areas and obtain the allegiance of the people. And it's going to be tough. They've intermarried with Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And it's going to be tough. But we have to get the cooperation of the people in those areas. And the Pakistanis are going to have to understand that that bombing of the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad was a signal from the terrorists that they don't want that government to cooperate with us in combating the Taliban and jihadist elements. So we've got a lot of work to do in Afghanistan, but I'm confident now that General Petraeus is in the new position of command that we will employ a strategy which not only means additional troops, and by the way, there have been 20,000 additional troops from 32 to 53,000, and there needs to be more. So it's not just the addition of troops that matters. It's a strategy that will succeed, and Pakistan is a very important element in this. And I know how to work with them, and I guarantee you I would not publicly state that I'm going to attack them.
Nobody talked about attacking Pakistan. Here's what I said, and if John wants to disagree with this, he can let me know. That if the United States has Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, top-level lieutenants in our sights, and Pakistan is unable or unwilling to act, then we should take them out. Now, I think that's the right strategy. I think that's the right policy. And, John, you're absolutely right that presidents have to be prudent in what they say. But, you know, coming from you, who, you know, in the past have threatened extinction for North Korea and, you know, sung songs about bombing Iran, I don't know, you know, how credible that is. I think this is the right strategy. Now, Senator McCain is also right that it's difficult. This is not an easy situation. You've got cross-border attacks against U.S. troops. And we've got a choice. We could allow our troops to just be on the defensive and absorb those blows again and again and again if Pakistan is unwilling to cooperate, or we have to start making some decisions. And the problem, John, with the strategy that's been pursued was that for 10 years we coddled Musharraf, we alienated the Pakistani population because we were anti-democratic, we had a 20th century mindset that basically said, well, you know, he may be a dictator, but he's our dictator. And as a consequence, we lost legitimacy in Pakistan. We spent $10 billion. And in the meantime, they weren't going after Al-Qaeda, and they are more powerful now than any time since we began the war in Afghanistan. That's going to change when I'm president of the United States.
We're going to take another break. We'll be right back. Stick around, friends. Hey, Farias filling in for Malloy. Obama speaking about Iran. Back to the debate.
What Senator McCain refers to is a measure in the Senate that would try to broaden the mandate inside of Iraq to deal with Iran. And ironically, the single thing that has strengthened Iran over the last several years has been the war in Iraq. Iraq was Iran's mortal enemy. That was cleared away. And what we've seen over the last several years is Iran's influence grow. They have funded Hezbollah. They have funded Hamas. They have gone from zero centrifuges to 4,000 centrifuges to develop a nuclear weapon. So obviously our policy over the last 8 years has not worked. Now, Senator McCain is absolutely right. We cannot tolerate a nuclear Iran. It would be a game changer. Not only would it threaten Israel, a country that is our stalwart ally, but it would also create an environment in which you could set up an arms race in the Middle East. Now, here's what we need to do. We do need tougher sanctions. I do not agree with Senator McCain that we're going to be able to execute the kind of sanctions we need without some cooperation from countries like Russia and China that are, I think Senator McCain would agree, not democracies, but have extensive trade with Iran, but potentially have an interest in making sure Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. But we're also going to have to, I believe, engage in tough, direct diplomacy with Iran, and this is a major difference that I have with Senator McCain. This notion that by not talking to people, we are punishing them has not worked. It has not worked in Iran. It has not worked in North Korea. In each instance, our efforts at isolation have actually accelerated their efforts to get nuclear weapons. That will change when I'm President of the United States.
Senator, what about talking?
Well, Senator Obama twice said in debates that he would sit down with Ahmadinejad, Chavez, and Raul Castro without precondition. Without precondition. Now, here is Ahmadinejad, who is now in New York talking about the extermination of the state of Israel, of wiping Israel off the map. And we're going to sit down without precondition across the table to legitimize and give a propaganda platform to a person that is espousing the extermination of the state of Israel, and therefore then giving them more credence in the world arena, and therefore saying they've probably been doing the right thing, because you will sit down across the table from them and that will legitimize their illegal behavior. The point is that throughout history, whether it be Ronald Reagan, who wouldn't sit down with Brezhnev, Andropov, or Chernenko until Gorbachev was ready with glasnost and perestroika, or whether it be Nixon's trip to China, which was preceded by Henry Kissinger many times before he went. Look, I'll sit down with anybody, but there's got to be preconditions, and those preconditions would apply that we wouldn't legitimize with a face-to-face meeting a person like Ahmadinejad. Now, Senator Obama said without precondition.
Let's talk about this. First of all, Ahmadinejad's not the most powerful person in Iran. So he may not be the right person to talk to. But I reserve the right, as President of the United States, to meet with anybody at a time and place of my choosing if I think it's going to keep America safe. And I'm glad that Senator McCain brought up the history, the bipartisan history, of us engaging in direct diplomacy. Senator McCain mentioned Henry Kissinger, who's one of his advisors, who, along with five recent secretaries of state, just said that we should meet with Iran, guess what, without precondition. This is one of your own advisors. Now, understand what this means, without preconditions. It doesn't mean that you invite them over for tea one day. What it means is that we don't do what we've been doing, which is to say, until you agree to do exactly what we say, we won't have direct contacts with you. There's a difference between preconditions and preparation. Of course we've got to do preparation, starting with low-level diplomatic talks. And it may not work, because Iran is a rogue regime. But I will point out that I was called naive when I suggested that we need to look at exploring contacts with Iran. And you know what? President Bush recently sent a senior ambassador, Bill Burns, to participate in talks with the Europeans around the issue of nuclear weapons. Again, it may not work, but if it doesn't work, then we have strengthened our ability to form alliances to impose the tough sanctions that Senator McCain just mentioned. And when we haven't done it, as in North Korea, let me just take one more example. In North Korea, we cut off talks. They're a member of the Axis of Evil. We can't deal with them. And you know what happened? They quadrupled their nuclear capacity. They tested a nuke. They tested missiles. They pulled out of the non-proliferation agreement. And they sent nuclear secrets potentially to countries like Syria. When we re-engaged, because again, the Bush administration reversed course on this, then we have at least made some progress, although right now, because of the problems in North Korea, we are seeing it on shaky ground. And I just have to make this general point that the Bush administration, some of Senator McCain's own advisors, all think this is important. And Senator McCain appears resistant. He even said the other day that he would not meet potentially with the Prime Minister of Spain. Because he said, you know, he wasn't sure whether they were aligned with us. I mean, Spain is a NATO ally.
Of course.
If we can't meet with our friends, I don't know how we're going to lead the world in terms of dealing with critical issues like terrorism.
I'm not going to set the White House visitor schedule before I'm President of the United States. I don't even have a seal yet. Look, Dr. Kissinger did not say that he would approve of face-to-face meetings between the President of the United States and the President and Ahmadinejad. He did not say that.
Of course not.
He said that there could be secretary-level and lower-level meetings. I've always encouraged them. The Iranians have met with Ambassador Crocker in Baghdad. That what Senator Obama doesn't seem to understand, that if without precondition you sit down across the table from someone who has called Israel a stinking corpse and wants to destroy that country and wipe it off the map, you legitimize those comments. This is dangerous. It isn't just naive. It's dangerous. And so we just have a fundamental difference of opinion. As far as North Korea is concerned, our Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, went to North Korea. By the way, North Korea, most repressive and brutal regime probably on Earth. The average South Korean is 3 inches taller than the average North Korean, a huge gulag. We don't know what the status of the dear leader's health is today. But we know this, that the North Koreans have broken every agreement that they've entered into. And we ought to go back to a little bit of Ronald Reagan's trust but verify. And well, certainly not sit down across the table from without precondition, as Senator Obama said he did twice. I mean, it's just dangerous.
Look, I mean, Senator McCain keeps on using this example that suddenly the president would just meet with somebody without doing any preparation, without having low-level talks. Nobody's been talking about that. And Senator McCain knows it. This is a mischaracterization of my position. When we talk about preconditions, and Henry Kissinger did say we should have contacts without preconditions, the idea is that we do not expect to solve every problem before we initiate talks. And you know, the Bush administration has come to recognize that it hasn't worked, this notion that we are simply silent when it comes to our enemies. And the notion that we would sit with Ahmadinejad and not say anything while he's spewing his nonsense and his vile comments is ridiculous. Nobody's even talking about it.
So let me get this right. We sit down with Ahmadinejad, and he says, we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, and we say, no, you're not?
Yeah,
oh, please.
No,
by the way, my friend Dr. Kissinger, who's been my friend for 35 years,
right,
would be interested to hear this conversation and Senator Obama's depiction of his positions on the issue. I've known him for 35 years, and I guarantee
you,
he would not say that presidential top level.
Nobody's
talking about
that.
Of course he encourages and other people encourage contacts and negotiations and all other things. We do that all the time.
We're going to go to a new lead.
Senator Obama is parsing words when he says precondition means preparation.
I am not parsing words.
Parsing
words,
my friend.
I'm using the same words that your advisors use. Please go ahead.
New lead question. Russia. Goes to you. 2 minutes, Senator Obama. How do you see the relationship with Russia? Do you see him as a competitor? Do you see him as an enemy? Do you see him as a potential partner?
Well, I think that given what's happened over the last several weeks and months, our entire Russian approach has to be evaluated because a resurgent and very aggressive Russia is a threat to the peace and stability of the region. Their actions in Georgia were unacceptable. They were unwarranted, and at this point it is absolutely critical for the next president to make clear that we have to follow through on our the six-point ceasefire. They have to remove themselves from South Ossetia and Abkhazia. It is absolutely important that we have a unified alliance and that we explain to the Russians that you cannot be a 21st century superpower or power and act like a 20th century dictatorship. And we also have to affirm all the fledgling democracies in that region. The Estonians, the Lithuanians, the Latvians, the Poles, the Czechs, that we are in fact going to be supportive and in solidarity with them in their efforts. They are members of NATO, and to countries like Georgia and the Ukraine, I think we have to insist that they are free to join NATO if they meet the requirements, and they should have a membership action plan immediately to start bringing them in. Now, we also can't return to a Cold War posture with respect to Russia. It's important that we recognize there are going to be some areas of common interest. One is nuclear proliferation. They have not only 15,000 nuclear warheads, but they've got enough to make another 40,000, and some of those loose nukes could fall into the hands of al-Qaeda. This is an area where I've led on in the Senate, working with a Republican, ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Dick Lugar, to deal with the proliferation of loose nuclear weapons. That's an area where we're going to have to work with Russia, but we have to have a president who is clear that you don't deal with Russia based on staring into his eyes and seeing his soul. You deal with Russia based on what are your what are the national security interests of the United States of America, and we have to recognize that the way they've been behaving lately demands a sharp response from the international community and our allies.
We're going to take a bit of a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. Hey, we're back. We're going straight back to the debate. Stick around. We'll be talking all about it later.
Russia is in part resurgent, and Putin is feeling powerful because of petrodollars, as Senator McCain mentioned. That means that we, as one of the biggest consumers of oil, 25% of the world's oil, have to have an energy strategy, not just to deal with Russia, but to deal with many of the rogue states we've talked about, Iran, Venezuela. And that means, yes, increasing domestic production and offshore drilling, but we only have 3% of the world's oil supplies, and we use 25% of the world's oil. So we can't simply drill our way out of the problem. What we're going to have to do is to approach it through alternative energy like solar and wind and biodiesel and, yes, nuclear energy, clean coal technology. And, you know, I've got a plan for us to make a significant investment over the next 10 years to do that. And I have to say, Senator McCain and I think, agree on the importance of energy, but Senator McCain mentioned earlier the importance of looking at a record. Over 26 years, Senator McCain voted 23 times against alternative energy like solar and wind and biodiesel. And so we've got to walk the walk and not just talk the talk when it comes to energy independence, because this is probably going to be just as vital for our economy and the pain that people are feeling at the pump and, you know, winter's coming and home heating oil, as it is our national security and the issue of climate change that's so important.
We've got time for one more lead question segment. We're out of quick response, and we'll go to the next.
And Senator Obama says he's for nuclear, but he's against reprocessing and he's against storing. So
it's hard to get there. I'm sorry.
And offshore drilling is also something that is very important, and it is a bridge. And we know that if we drill offshore and exploit a lot of these reserves, it will help at least temporarily relieve our energy requirements, and it will have, I think, an important effect on the price of a barrel of oil. I just want to say that with the Nunn-Lugar thing, I supported Nunn-Lugar back in the early 1990s when a lot of my colleagues didn't. That was the key legislation at the time and put us on the road to eliminating this issue of nuclear waste and the nuclear fuel that has to be taken care of.
I just have to correct the record here. I have never said that I object to nuclear waste. What I've said is that we have to store it safely.
All right.
And Senator McCain, he talks about Arizona. I've got to make this point, Jim.
Okay.
He objects.
I have voted for alternate fuel all of my time.
He objects.
One at a time.
No one can be opposed
right.
to alternate energy.
Let's move on. You got one more energy.
Last lead question. You have 2 minutes each, and the question is this, beginning with you, Senator McCain. What do you think the likelihood is that there would be another 9/11 type attack on the continental United States?
I think it's much less than it was the day after 9/11. I think we have a safer nation, but we are a long way from safe. And I want to tell you that one of the things I'm most proud of, among other, because I have worked across the aisle, I have a long record on that, on a long series of reforms. But after 9/11, Senator Joe Lieberman and I decided that we needed a commission. And that was a commission to investigate 9/11 and find out what happened and fix it. And we were opposed by the administration, another area where I differed with this administration. And we were stymied until the families of 9/11 came. And they descended on Washington, and we got that legislation passed. And there were a series of recommendations, as I recall, more than 40. And I'm happy to say that we've gotten written into law most of those reforms recommended by that commission. I'm proud.
We'll be right back. Hey, we're back. Farias filling in for Malloy here. We're just winding down on the bait, and as soon as it's done, we'll come back on air and take your questions at 1-800-989-1480. Stick around.
I honestly don't believe that Senator Obama has the knowledge or experience and has made the wrong judgments in a number of areas, including his initial reaction to Russian aggression in Georgia, to his, we've seen this stubbornness before in this administration, to cling to a belief that somehow the surge has not succeeded, and failing to acknowledge that he was wrong about the surge shows to me that we need more flexibility in a president of the United States than that. As far as our other issues that he brought up are concerned, I know the veterans, I know them well. And I know that they know that I'll take care of them. And I've been proud of their support and their recognition of my service to the veterans. And I love them, and I'll take care of them. And they know that I'll take care of them. And that's going to be my job. But also, I have the ability and the knowledge and the background to make the right judgments to keep this country safe and secure. Reform, prosperity, and peace. These are major challenges to the United States of America. I don't think I need any on-the-job training. I'm ready to go at it right now.
Well, let me just make a closing point. My father came from Kenya. That's where I get my name. And in the 60s, he wrote letter after letter to come to college here in the United States, because the notion was that there was no other country on earth where you could make it if you try. The ideals and the values of the United States inspired the entire world. I don't think any of us can say that our standing in the world now, the way children around the world look at the United States, is the same. And part of what we need to do, what the next president has to do, and this is part of our judgment, this is part of how we are going to keep America safe, is to send a message to the world that we are going to invest in issues like education. We are going to invest in issues that relate to how ordinary people are able to live out their dreams. And that is something that I'm going to be committed to as President of the United States.
A few seconds, we're almost finished.
Jim, when I came home from prison, I saw our veterans being very badly treated. And it made me sad. And I embarked on an effort to resolve the POW-MIA issue, which we did in a bipartisan fashion. And then I worked on normalization of relations between our two countries so that our veterans could come all the way home. I guarantee you, as President of the United States, I know how to heal the wounds of war, I know how to deal with our adversaries, and I know how to deal with our friends.
And that ends this debate tonight. On October 2nd, next Thursday, also at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, the two vice presidential candidates will debate at Washington University in St. Louis. My PBS colleague, Gwen Ifill, will be the moderator. For now, from Oxford, Mississippi, thank you, Senators, both. I'm Jim Lehrer. Thank you, and good night.
All right, we're back on air. I'm going to try and hold down my dinner after that last little closing bit by McCain. He loves the veterans. He loves him the veterans. Votes against the GI Bill, gets the lowest possible ratings from all veterans organizations, but he loves him some veterans, don't he? Unbelievable. Stunned at what I heard right there. But you know what? We're going to keep the phone, get the phone lines open here. 1-800-989-1480. That's the phone number here. If you're here local in Phoenix, 602-258-8800. Give us a call. What did you hear? What did you see tonight? Let's go first to Lenny in Glendale. Hey, Lenny.
Hey, Jeff. I'm over here right now at a house. Group of people that Debbie said hi. Hey, look, I like Obama. He was very presidential. But damn it, Jeff, I wish for once the Democrats could take their damn gloves off. I mean, McCain kind of lost it, but McCain, all I know is, maybe it will look really good that Obama was really gentlemanly and all of that. But I wish the hell he'd stop agreeing with John McCain. You know, mm-hmm. John McCain was repeating the talking points. You and I, and probably the listeners to this Nova M network understand that, but I guess it will come out on how it sounded on the radio. I was listening to Nova and watching. Mm-hmm. Barack did a great job, but unfortunately, I still, whether we like it or not, I think McCain came out a lot better than people expected him to. He was kind of
He didn't have a total meltdown. I guess. I mean, that's.
Yeah, I guess anything now. Expected, I guess when everybody sets the bar so low for you, when you do anything, it looks good. But
well, and again, you can look good if you're not really bound to actually telling the truth when you're speaking either.
Look, I understand, and I'm hoping, I understand the point of like doing like FDR did, being central, taking a centrist viewpoint, because a lot of Americans are watching. But I'm just going to leave you with this. I wish we could, as Democrats, take our damn gloves off just once, because to have to sit there and watch him, I'm hoping that when he argued over Barack, that really showed what he was all about. But he kept repeating the Israel lie about Israel. You know, Barack could have specifically said, the leader of Iran did not say specifically, I will wipe Israel off the map, and all these things. So, yeah, I liked what he did, but I got to say, unfortunately, I still think John McCain came out looking better than he should have. You and I know that. We're voting for Barack, but I just hope how this comes out. The way the perception of the American people is that Barack came out much more calm and that. But right now, I got to be honest, I think McCain held his own tonight, unfortunately. And I think Barack has got to stop damn agreeing so much with John McCain.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
He's a POW.
Yeah.
It just gets on my nerves.
Yep.
He had that whole economic bailout thing that he could have really been more specific about. No one mentions the truckers. You got to get specific, He did get specific and mention the veteran's name. But John McCain kept using the American soldiers as props, as if we all agree with him. John McCain is a damn liar, and if he doesn't win, I'll do a recall on his bacon as soon as he gets back to Arizona. I'll talk to you later, Jeff.
All right, thanks,
thank you,
Lenny,
for playing this on the radio.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
All righty, bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, just the just out there lying about his support of veterans, lying about torture, that he was somehow against torture. He voted with the president on torture. He made a little noise about it when push came to shove, when he had to vote, he voted with the president to allow waterboarding, to allow torture. And he got away with it in that debate. Unbelievable. Let's go to Philip in San Diego.
Hi, Jeff.
How you doing?
Good. Good to hear you on. By the way, I want to add before I give you my comments, I'm here in San Diego and I can see Mexico from my house. So,
so you're ambassador then?
No, I'm authority on foreign policy now. See,
Unbelievable.
See a foreign country. But anyhow, I agree with the last caller. My stomach's turning in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's really annoying me about the whole thing with Barack Obama and McCain debating foreign policy issues. First of all, the Iranian thing, which was just brought up. But the whole idea that Russia invaded Georgia and it was illegal. You know, first of all, we invaded Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that wasn't illegal, huh?
But, well, even Colin Powell just this week publicly stated that it was Georgia who precipitated that. Georgia is the ones who started that conflict. Colin Powell says that.
Yeah, and I even have a soundbite that I found that is an American citizen that was in the South Ossetia region during the start of that conflict with his wife, who's from that South Ossetia region, testifying that, yeah, it was Georgia troops that were attacking them, and Russia came in to help. There's also intelligence about that Russia went in to bomb air bases inside Georgia that Georgia was allowing Israel to use staging ground for attacking Iran. So my point here is we get what we voted for in the primary with this debate. We had a chance to choose from a variety of different candidates. I supported Dennis Kucinich. Mm-hmm. I think if we had Dennis Kucinich up there with McCain, it would have been a different story. He would have called him on the veterans thing. I support the veterans. No, you don't, Lumpy. You voted against veteran health care for a long time.
Yep.
And most of the time. I supported this. I fought against torture. No, you didn't. You sat there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut spending. No, you're not. You're pumping all that money into Iraq. So, yeah, I agree with the last caller. Barack needs to toughen up a little bit. Don't be afraid to call this guy a liar, because this dumbass is a liar. And I'm afraid the caller is right, the guy that was on before me. Dumb down America is going to look at this or hear this and say, oh, yeah, uh-huh, yep, John McCain's going to keep us safer from them Al-Qaeda people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to vote against our best interest. And, of course, we've got Sarah Palin. She'll keep us safe from Moose.
Well, but again, you know, McCain's out there trumping the Iraq war. And what do we got? 70-some percent of American people want us out of the Iraq war. And there he is holding on to it like it's his issue. So I don't know. I'm not sure if McCain did as well as people think. Or I think there's a lot of reaction, because a lot of people who listen here, you know, we have some information. We know about things. We know the fact that, we have different set of facts. We know that Ahmadinejad never said he wants to wipe Israel off the map. You know, the whole list of things like that we hear McCain lie about it, and we don't hear Obama respond to it. We know the Georgians started this recent conflict. We didn't hear that come out there and react to it. So I think our take of it is a little bit different than what the main audience for Obama was tonight. You know, I think it's just a different standard. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stick around. I'm going to try and get as many calls in as possible. 1-800-989-1480. It's Jeff Arias sitting in for Malloy here tonight. We just sat through about 93 minutes of a debate between Obama and McCain. I hope there's a fact check. I'm curious to see when the fact checkers get together on McCain, because just the stuff coming out of his mouth was remarkable. And just, you know, sitting here waiting for Obama to just scream out that he's a liar over and over again. But obviously, you know, that wouldn't work. He's going to veto every spending bill. Apparently, the government isn't going to spend money anymore once McCain gets into office. I'm not sure how they're going to pay for, you know, all the cops, the firemen, all the stuff that the government does. That veto a spending freeze as well. They're not going to spend any government money. Again, I'm not sure exactly how that works. He kept making references to representatives who have been jailed in corruption scandals. Of course, every single one of them is a Republican who went to jail for corruption. That didn't get mentioned. But anyway, let's take some calls here. First up is Edie in Dogpatch, Alabama. Hey, Edie.
Hi, Jeff. First of all, I want to say thank you for this, what you've done tonight, and I've felt very close to my little community of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, you know, Obama looked very statesmanlike.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, because we know John McCain looked like a doddering old fool.
Yep.
But when he kept, I don't know why Obama didn't call him on those lies about the veterans.
Yeah, the guy who's voted against the veterans. And I think he gave McCain way too much credit.
He was trying to be
too gentlemanly, and then McCain would turn around and stick a shiv in his back every chance he got, you know?
Yeah. He should have said, you know, Senator McCain has said that he's got a record.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, you know, encourage all watching to check his record and see if he supports the veterans or not.
Right.
You'd be very surprised.
Yep.
He could have said something like that.
Yeah, he loves the veterans. I couldn't believe he actually said that. He loves the veterans, and I'll take care of them.
Uh-huh.
He voted against the GI Bill. He just had a chance to take care of them, and he voted against it because he thought it was too generous and it would keep people from reenlisting.
Uh-huh.
You know, unbelievable.
Oh, isn't that a mercenary way to think?
Yeah, that's some real love there.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to eat up any more of your time. I know a lot of people are calling. But thanks again.
Thanks, Edie. Thanks for checking in. Good hearing from you. Greg in Danville, California. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. Before my main point, the two things that really incensed me first was when McCain said he called for the termination of the head of the SEC.
Yeah, no, he said he was going to fire him. He didn't call for him to resign.
Yeah, fire him,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The second thing was when Obama didn't call him on the Georgia thing.
Right.
That Russia started the war.
Yep.
But the main point for me was, obviously, they were both getting hammered about what would have to be done regarding the bailout.
Mm-hmm.
If they committed to the bailout, what would be done? The only thing that I think that we can do to really undertake this is to dismantle the military-industrial complex,
mm-hmm.
is to take money from this. But because Reagan built a war economy over his...
In peacetime, yeah.
You know, there's no way that the American economy can sustain that, because what happens every time they try to close bases, right?
Yep.
The Congress people come up in arms, because that's what employs a lot of these small towns or these bases. So it just, I was very irritated, and I had to watch it in spurts because I was getting so mad.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama should have called him on a lot, and he didn't. And I'm very frustrated with him. I'm a Kucinich man, like you're. Two callers ago,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to have a hard time really having confidence in Obama if he doesn't start standing up to what John McCain is lying about. So thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate
thanks,
it.
Greg. Yeah, and again, I think that's probably going to be a common thread with callers tonight, because I was sitting here watching it, getting incensed every time I heard McCain lie about something and get away with it. I was hanging out at democracyinteractive.com in that chat room, and people were just bouncing off the walls every time one of these lies would go out there unchallenged. And again, strategy-wise, does Obama just sit there and just react constantly calling McCain on lies, or does he talk about the things he wants to talk about and leave it to, you know, fact-checkers and people to come back later and point out the things that were lied about? I don't know. Mike in Phoenix, what do you think?
Jeff, I'm having a PTSD flashback to the Kerry campaign.
Oh, I thought he did a better job than Kerry.
Oh, well, yeah, but the thing...
Quite a bit.
I understand. Listen, you and I worked on the Kerry campaign.
And actually, I thought Bush did a worse job than McCain did in those debates.
And the thing is, I tried to look at this debate through the eyes of my best friend, who's a charter member of the I Don't Give a Crap party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I tried to look at it as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
And because we know what Obama could have come back with, particularly on the veterans thing, as one example, easy stuff. I mean, low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Or irrefutable. You know, he didn't do that, and he was too, like everybody said, the threat is there, too gentlemanly, you know, too deferential, you know, didn't want to come off as the angry black man, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, he did all those things. But the thing is, I thought, what is he thinking? Is he thinking, oh, well, politifactcheck.org, they'll take care of these things for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody reads that.
Right, right.
You know, and yep. he should have just turned on him, you know, and said, John, you didn't vote for veterans. You've got the lowest rating among all veterans organizations. You mm-hmm. voted against veterans benefits, and you voted against the veterans GI Bill.
Yep.
So how can you say how do you say you support veterans? You know, he could have put it out there in a very professorial way,
mm-hmm.
factually just guided everybody through it. Here are the facts. Now, John, would you please speak to these facts? He didn't do that. He's got to do that. I thought up to this point that Obama was running a perfect campaign. I really agreed with the way he was being careful, the way he was doing. The convention was so well choreographed and staged and done mm-hmm. so well. He mm-hmm. pulled it all off. But he's got to get better than this.
Yep, I agree, Mike. Hey, I got to take a break. Thanks for your call. Take care. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back one more hour here on The Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike Malloy, a little debate chat. I'll leave it up to pretty much the callers to carry the show here. What did you think about what you saw tonight? 1-800-989-1480. We are back. Jeff Farias sitting in for Mike Malloy on The Mike Malloy Show here on Nova M Radio. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. I'd like to know what you thought about the debate tonight. One thing that occurred to me is, you know, this was the foreign policy debate. This was supposed to be, this is John McCain's specialty. This was supposed to be his big night. I don't know. I don't think he won. He held his own. He didn't do as badly as many of us thought he might. Ian, did you have something?
Well, I was going to say, if I wouldn't have had to push all the buttons around here, if I would have drank every time he lied, I'd be dead by now.
You'd be on, yeah, we'd be calling the ambulances right now.
Yeah, alcohol poisoning.
Good Sam would be on the way, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I hope you didn't pick lie as your drinking cue. let's go to Joe, Madison, Wisconsin. Hey, Joe.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Hello? I don't think Obama was, assertive enough. You know, to get his point. He didn't get his point across very good.
Well, I thought he did in the earlier, in the first hour or so of the debate. I think McCain kind of got away with a lot at the end. I think a lot of the frustration that I'm hearing is that McCain got away with a lot of lies. He got away with saying a lot of things that just plain weren't true. You know, I thought Obama actually did pretty well. I thought he made a lot of great points and looked very presidential, very, very sort of calm. And I don't know. But yeah, did he swing at McCain like I wanted to? Well, I wanted to see him do? No. But I didn't think he did a bad job.
Well, I had a comment, too. I don't know. As far as this financial thing goes, I don't mm-hmm. think we should bail him out. Do you?
I don't think we should do give him what Bush and Paulson wanted, but I think we should do something to keep the credit markets from collapsing. If we do nothing, we could end up like we were in the Great Depression, only we don't know how to grow food anymore, most people in this country, like they did in the 30s.
How did it happen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it happened because of no regulations, because of a climate of letting business run amok, and this whole Republican philosophy of notion of an invisible hand that corrects the market.
You have to have stricter regulations, you know?
Absolutely. And you won't get it from Republicans, and you won't get it from John McCain. He's been a deregulator his entire 26 years in Washington.
Hmm. Yep.
Yep. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you calling in tonight, buddy. Take care. Sue, Calgary, Alberta, a Canadian friend. Hey, Sue.
Hi, love. I was watching the debate, and mm-hmm. I want to give you kind of like a Canadian perspective.
Sure.
I thought your chap did not bad. I thought the other guy got away with things when he interrupted him. I thought he was very rude.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I thought he was kind of negative, mm-hmm. the other chap, not Obama. But on the whole, I thought he held his own.
Yeah, and again, this was supposed to be McCain's specialty, this foreign policy debate, and you see, he really needed a big win here.
Can I make a
of course.
Interrupt you? I don't mean to rude.
That's okay.
But on the foreign policy thing, I thought Obama scored higher.
Mm-hmm.
I like at the beginning of the evening they were talking about the economy, and I thought Obama was really high, and then McCain came in there, and then. After then, they went into the foreign policy stuff,
mm-hmm.
and McCain kept going at things. He didn't strike me as being very dead on them things.
Right.
I thought he was bringing up things, and he kept getting put down by Obama, and I thought he didn't have his facts all together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to be proven wrong in the days to come when fact-checking comes out.
Yep.
Because there were things he was saying, and I couldn't remember exactly stuff, but it struck me that, no, that's not right. No. Seems to me I heard something different on that. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, there was a lot of things like that. The McCain got away with saying things that just aren't true. Yep.
Exactly. That kept what going through my mind, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe I'm daft, maybe I'm just a stupid Canadian, don't know, but that was my feelings on it, love.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. So I had that same impression. Like, and I think there was a lot of frustration. But for obviously people who listen to my show or listen to Malloy are quite aware of what those lies were when they came up. And there was a lot of anger. And I'm wondering if people who aren't paying as close attention what their reaction was. A CNN poll that's up has Obama who won the debate. Obama 67, McCain 27, and that's CNN.
Yeah.
So
you just made my night.
Yeah, interesting.
Because there are times I wanted him to go after him for things, but mm-hmm. I thought if he did, then he looks like what they did to Al Gore
years back
when he just rolled his eyes and they said he was
arrogant elite.
Yeah, exactly, and I thought, oh, is he going to fall into that trap? Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm sorry to say, but with the Democrats, it's do if you do or do if you do. Damned if you don't. You know what I'm saying?
Yep,
okay.
Yep. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Yep.
Thank you very much, love. I've gone daft on us.
Thanks for your call, Sue. It's good to hear from you. You take care. Who's up next? Let's go to Sanchez, Montebello, California. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, good evening to you, sir, and welcome to KTLK, because I believe this is the first time that we get to hear your voice in the Los Angeles market.
Is that true? Oh, that's right. I haven't subbed Malloy
since
on in L.A.
L.A.! Welcome to KTLK, and welcome to Los Angeles, and a plug for your excellent show that comes on right before Malloy's, if I may do that.
And we won't talk about the Dodgers while I'm on here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. First of all, if I can compare this to a boxing match,
mm-hmm.
even before the debate, John McCain was already staggering. He was lacking from credibility. He mm-hmm. was hiding behind the problems that he himself helped create. And from the very beginning, Jim Lehrer was trying to get these two to go after and at least face each other in the boxing ring, on the debating floor in this ring. But they kept directing their comments to Lehrer. They refused. They were too polite. These were, a boxing match.
Right. Obama tried a couple times. He did turn over and address his comments to John, and he would try and look at. But yeah, McCain wouldn't look. I mean, he refused to look in Obama's direction.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so many opportunities. Again, one of your previous callers was mentioning a Kucinich supporter, as was I. Okay, as mm-hmm. is most of the Malloy listeners were better informed, and we wanted to see. Fireworks. We wanted to see a knockout punch. No mention of the Keating Five, no mention of McCain's support of deregulation,
mm-hmm.
and still not a proper explanation as to why this budget crunch even happened. McCain hemmed in.
And he let him get away with torture and actually commended him for his stance on torture.
Yes. Yeah. So as far as I'm concerned, okay, I'm going to upset a lot of listeners here. I'm sorry, but McCain won this debate because Obama failed to shut him down. Obama had so many opportunities to offer a knockout punch and didn't. And McCain lives to fight another day. And, oh, I'm so sick of the debates, I mean, of the campaign at this point. This should have been the opportunity to explain to the American voters what this man has done to the country. And instead, it was too polite, and I'm sorry, but McCain won as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I don't, I disagree with you on what.
Okay, Ian, thank you. Well, at least I'm off.
I disagree with you that McCain won, but I don't think McCain, I don't think Obama necessarily won big either. I think it was pretty close to even. McCain got away with some things that if don't get fact checked that were lies that made him look good. I thought Obama made a lot of good points and looked more presidential.
Well, you're seeing more fireworks in this after debate than you heard
His
debate itself. So That's my opinion because. McCain lives to fight another day, and tonight should have been the night he should have been shut down because, again, our economy is on the edge here, and there's so many reasons to be upset with that man, and, again, he got off scot-free tonight as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'll be curious to see how and if the polls move after tonight's debate and McCain's performance this week. We'll have some pretty interesting numbers to talk about on Monday.
Okay,
Sanchez,
man.
Always a pleasure to speak with you, my friend.
Okay, man.
Have a great night. We'll be back after these messages. We'll take more of your calls, 1-800-989-1480.
Now, I am not an expert on Wall Street. I am not an expert on some of this stuff.
But I can still eat corn on the cob if someone cuts it off and smushes it into a fine paste. Now, that's good eating.
I love L.A.
Certainly, it is a mess, though. The economy is a mess.
It's rotten, I tell you, rotten!
Back, the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias sitting in, hosting a little conversation about tonight's debate. A lot of people are a little upset. They heard John McCain get away with a lot of lies, a lot of misinformation, and a lot of people felt Obama maybe was a little too nice to him. What do you think? Taylor, you're up next. Hey, Taylor.
How you doing?
Good.
What the hell just happened?
Oberman's on now, and there's a couple of they're playing a few of the scenes from the debate. And when you go back into that first hour, there's a lot of great stuff that Obama did. It ended on such a note that was driving me insane. Literally, my stomach was churning in the last 10 minutes when McCain's up there talking about how much he loves the vets and he's going to take care of them. Like,
his voting record says just the opposite. GI Bill,
Then torture. He's trying to say he's against torture when he voted. You know, again, those things drove me absolutely nuts. But again, I don't know. One of the networks had a little graph going, and they were, you know, in real time reacting to what they liked and they didn't like, and it looked
like the CNN thing.
Yeah, Obama was doing a lot better with those people too. So I don't know.
I'm sorry. Like I hate to be like the negative Nelly or whatever the hell they say it is. It's just Obama. He needs to hit back so hard. Because he has so much material to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, God, just go nuts.
Yeah.
Hit him back and back and just keep hitting him.
I don't know if he can do that, to be honest with you, Taylor.
Do you think politically that really is not...
It hurt Al Gore when he was kind of dismissive and tough toward Bush. People thought he was smug and elitist, and I think Obama's kind of got to walk a fine line there. He's just going to try and stand out there, tell the truth as he know it, and not be too angry or confrontational. It's frustrating for me, believe me. But
especially, I understand there's the race issue and everything.
Yeah.
But I'd say you need to go negative right now.
Yep.
I mean, you have to, or you're going to lose.
Well, Politico, which is by no means a left-leaning organization, very much leaning right, their poll over at Politico, 54 to 40, that Obama won the debate. And that's a right-leaning, right-to-middle-leaning website news place.
It's too close.
Well, I don't know. 14 points? In the debate that was supposed to favor McCain, this is foreign policy. This is supposed to be his area of expertise.
No, I agree, but you just had the Gallup poll that came out that was 46-46, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's, it's for them to figure it out. I mean, I honestly think that we're good.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're going to win, but it's just, I don't want it to be, I honestly just don't want it to be close. I want it to be, like, in your face.
Yeah.
This is what we think of your policies kind of thing.
Yep.
Anyway, well, have a good one. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Hang in there. It wasn't that bad a night.
No,
Believe me, I thought we did okay.
No, I think we did too.
Yeah, thanks, Taylor. Let's go to Mary and Chandler. Hi, Mary.
Hey, hi, Jeff.
Good. How you doing?
From your backyard, huh?
Yep.
I have to agree with a lot of the other callers about I just wanted Obama to hit hard.
Mm-hmm.
They know, I mean, the camp should know what McCain is going to lie about and already have an answer like that when he starts one of his lies and just come at him.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be all snippy and all that stuff. I thought McCain looked really bad.
Yeah, I did
he
too.
Was really snippy. I mean, no expression. And if Bush got elected because you'd want to go drink a beer with him, I don't think anybody in the audience would say, I want to go drink a beer with McCain. And if that's what it's going to take for us to win, then, you know, hey, because I think a lot of people say, hey, I'd like to go, you know, be out there with Obama. He seems like pretty cool, but I would like to see Obama, but yeah, hit hard.
Yeah.
It's not like they don't know what they're going to do. I mean, so it's kind of frustrating, but hopefully people will see, look at McCain, and yeah, I mean, he didn't look good.
Well, there are a couple points when Obama said, well, that's not true, or that's not right, or, you know, where he kind of called him on stuff, where he called him on the bomb Iran thing. I thought, you know, I mean, there are a couple of points where I think Obama got in some good shots without being nasty about it, you know, without being angry. I think McCain came off looking kind of angry and
he did.
Punched
he looked
and bitter and, you know.
Nippy, and he wouldn't even acknowledge him.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, this is not a guy you really want to be around.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye. Let's, who's up? Oh, there it is. It's blinking green. Let's go to John in Scottsdale. Hey, John.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for working so late tonight. Really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
And, yes, I did watch the debate, and it really is too early to really make up my mind, but I did see some things, and I want to share them. If you see this, election as I do, is a election of the economy versus Iraq, and if you see the styles being detail and judgment oriented versus personal and a good old boy, my view is that McCain did pretty well, and I say that because he used a weapon no one expected him to use, and that was knowledge. He seemed to be, especially when he was talking about the Russian invasion of Georgia, and in various other places, he named names and he dealt with personality.
Right. Well, I was disappointed that Obama didn't bring up the Colin Powell. He just said Georgia started this thing.
Well,
you know?
Well, the issue, that's a framework, but the target is the middle.
Right.
And the question is who plays? Is that your music?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got about a minute, though. Go ahead. Oh.
He left.
All right. Sorry, John. John, call me back tomorrow. We'll finish some of these thoughts. Obviously, we'll be talking about this debate on the program on Monday. Lots more to talk about here tonight. We got another half hour. I'm Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Give us a call.
My friends,
I'm not a smart man.
Cut it. So I won't get the door. I'm a loser, baby. So why don't you kill me? So I won't get the door.
are back. Well, Politico has Obama up to 63% think he won. Oddly enough, Fox News isn't running a poll on their network. They know better. One of the highlights for me of the night was Spain? Spain? He doesn't know Spain's one of our NATO allies? Spain? I think the more Obama does that in the other debates, just pointing out these remarkably misguided gaps that McCain has been pumping out on almost a daily basis, just to kind of get under his skin a little bit. I think that'll help as we move along. John in San Diego, you're up. How you doing, John?
Hey, Jeff, really, thanks for the opportunity to vent. I'm remembering there weren't too many years ago where this would have been an impossibility for me.
Mm-hmm.
We lost our station here. Now I'm getting you on the internet. It's a great. I really want to first of all start by saying how much I appreciate that. Let me say I am as much of a supporter. Let me say that I am as much of an opponent of the Bush administration as the mighty Mike Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you where I'm coming down. Listening to this debate tonight, I was extremely disappointed. And I'll tell you why. I don't think it's because Obama was not aggressive enough in pointing out the lies that McCain was telling.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the fact that he was completely without passion. And here's what I think. I think Obama is a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think left to speaking his own feelings about all the abuses that we know about that's happened in the last 8 years, he would be a very forceful person, and he would attract not just you and me who are already on his side, but people who would be inspired by the passion and the feeling and the rightness of what he believes. And yet he's clearly caved in to people who are giving him advice. Don't say this, don't say that. He's treading his way like he's walking through a minefield instead of just standing up there and saying, look, I'll give you an example. Let's take earmarks that was talked about.
Mm-hmm.
In that exchange, my reaction was, what the hell? Why is there even such a thing as an earmark? My understanding is that's something after the bill has been voted on, these legislators just shove something in for money to go out.
Sometimes, but a lot of times the earmark is the bill. I mean, they put these big spending project bills, and that's all it is. All it is earmarks.
Well, I may be misinformed. Let me just say this. If I'm misinformed, imagine how many other people are misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
And in that exchange, I would say McClain won hands down in terms of being a man of principle. He came up much stronger than Obama, saying, well, we need to correct that and evaluate it and maybe change some things. That's not what you ought to do. Here's what he ought to do. I believe that everything the Bush administration has done in all these 8 years has been exactly the opposite of what I think should have been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are probably a lot of other people like me. And what he should do is hold McCain accountable for all the abuses that the Republicans have been in charge of. Talk about torture. Talk about starting a war based on lies. All of this stuff that we all know so well. And when McCain keeps coming back and saying, well, you know, I've fought, I'm a maverick. And look, he's in the Republican Party and has been there for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't let his one disclaimer of, well, I'm a maverick and I did, I fought my party.
And a POW, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Look, here's what I'm saying. I try to be aware of things. If you want to hear somebody who's talking the talk that I want to hear, my candidate talk, listen on YouTube to some of the things that Ralph Nader is saying. Here is a man completely free to speak his mind and about the values that we have in America.
Mm-hmm.
If Obama could do that, I'm sure he would come out much stronger, much more passionate.
Well, I also think he would probably attract about the same voter base that Nader does, too.
Well, I don't know.
Obama took on Nader's position, he'd be labeled a crazy, angry black man, and yeah. he would sink to about 10% of the polls.
Okay. Well, look, here, let me just close it by saying this. It's not the fact that we didn't correct every single error that McCain was saying.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you start talking about numbers and, well, we could do this and could do that, you've lost the people. What you need to do is pick out the very strong points that you have moral opposition to,
mm-hmm.
and speak to them with passion.
I agree with you that with there.
And to me, that's the greatest failing. And, of course, I want him to win. I think when he gets in office, he will have the time, and without the pressure of worrying about being elected,
mm-hmm.
he may change and moderate in the direction that I want to see. But at this point, I was disappointed.
Thanks, John. I appreciate your call. You
All
take
right.
care. Let's go to Stacy in St. Louis. Hey, Stacy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had to call in. I had to speak my mind just a few minutes on this. I think Obama did good.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with the majority of everyone about he's not aggressive enough. He needs to attack a little bit more because Republicans like to attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. My biggest issue with McCain is he kept hitting on this this defense, spending more on defense, and where are they going? Nobody ever answered. Obama gave a decent answer on where are we going to cut the budget, you know, if the House goes ahead and pushes through this buyout bill, which I think it's up to like 91% of the people
mm-hmm.
have called in on CNN, and everybody's saying they don't want this buyout bill at all. But Obama came up with more, he gave more solutions
mm-hmm.
as to what he would have to do to reshape his own budget to accommodate for that. McCain kept talking about spending more on defense and building nuclear plants.
Yeah, 45 nuclear plants.
So
yeah.
What nuclear plant?
Yeah.
We don't want that. Things are bad enough on this planet. We've done enough.
Yep.
It's time to start rebuilding the inside of our country. I'm all for the defense. That's awesome. We need to take care of ourselves here at home, but we need to concentrate on home. We need to concentrate on building jobs. Instead of taking that $700 billion and buying out all of this stuff, why don't we reinvest that into our country? Instead of buying out, and I understand the credit,
mm-hmm.
you know, companies, a lot of people need credit, the big companies, some of them need credit to run, but let's build the jobs. Let's start from
exactly.
the bottom and build up.
Yep.
Spread the money out to the state. Let's build some more jobs. Let's attack the infrastructure with that money.
Yep. Well, there's a story. Flint, Michigan. Here's actually a little piece of good news, okay? A GM is building a brand new plant in Flint, Michigan, a $57 million plant to build the Volt, their electric car that comes out in 2010.
I've seen that. That's not a bad looking
right.
car.
We need more and more stories like this. The government investing in alternative energies, opening up other plants around the country. We're making electric cars, solar panels, converting our energy, using wind,
exactly.
using waves,
exactly.
using all that stuff. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, instead of giving these big tax incentives and,
mm-hmm.
and tax breaks to these larger companies, give some of those tax breaks and tax incentives to the common people so we can afford to put the solar panels on our roof.
Yep.
Let's build the windmills throughout the countryside. I was in Illinois not long ago, and it was just, I couldn't even, mile after mile after mile of wind power, wind generators, everywhere, I mean, just for the longest space down through there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just such an awesome ideal. And he's talking about nuclear.
Right.
We can't get rid of the stuff that we have right now. It's sitting buried in barrels, you know, up underneath the Rocky Mountains somewhere.
Yep. 3 Mile Island is my answer to 40 more nuclear plants. Jeez, that's just insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. Another Chernobyl.
Yep. Thanks for your call, Stacy. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
You take care.
Bye.
Steve in Burbank. Hey, Steve.
How are you doing, Jeff, there?
Doing.
What's
good.
Happening is I agree wholeheartedly with Sanchez from Montebello that Obama failed miserably. I mean, when Lair asked him, he says, how would you rule? Obama could have said, I don't rule, kings rule. I would only be an elected representative, and I would do the will of the people. And the will of the people is to get a decent standard of living. It's gonna have to be like, we aren't going to have to worry about terrorists. We're not
mm-hmm.
going to have to do this, that, and the other. And also, Obama could have come back and come back on the question, like Ahmadinejad. That guy's only figurehead. Here's McCain talking like...
But he did say that. But Obama did say that. Obama did say Ahmadinejad's not even the most powerful man in Iran.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I guess I was reaching for another beer. I'm going to let you go to another car, okay?
Thanks, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it. Yeah, again... Obama doesn't win the debate by saying everything you wanted him to hear. Let's look at relative. Look at what these two men did. Look at what they presented. Again, yeah, I was angry as hell that McCain was able to lie as much as he did. There'll be some fact checkers. The media will be talking about this. It'll be on the news all day tomorrow. They'll be going line by line. Who said what? Was it true? Was it not? I would love to see Obama call him out more. The Spain moment. More of that. You know? We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Jeff Farias filling in for Malloy. Be back after these messages. Back, closing it down. We got one more segment here. Let's just get right on the phone. Jeff Farias sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight's special debate coverage. Joy, Santa Cruz, California. Hey, Joy.
Hi.
How you doing? Hello, we lost Joy. Oh, my God, she's been trying to get in all night, and we lost her after the word hello. Oh, hi. All right, G in Madison, Wisconsin. G,
hello.
You there?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, this is G in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. This debate really disappointed me. Actually, it didn't disappoint me. It kind of confirmed my suspicions that they're both hawks. I don't see any difference, real difference in policy between them. And it confirms my decision not to vote for Obama, because voting for Obama would be just putting a black, benign face on American imperialism, which, I mean, he didn't differ with him on Iran. I mean, I'd like to know, when was the last time Iran attacked any other country?
Never.
It's been hundreds
anyone.
Of years.
Yeah, none. Yeah.
Yeah. And
ever,
then
yeah.
His blind support for Israel, which is basically a colonial country, with mm-hmm. the Palestinians paying for Europeans' crimes. Again, no difference on that. The blather on Russia, again, no difference on that. And his thing about building up American arms and American military. I mean, that's the last thing America should be doing. It should be leading the world and saying, hey, we are the biggest, most powerful country. We are going to slowly disarm. Mm-hmm. And we invite all of you to join us. I mean, I do not see anything coming from Obama which inspires me in any way. I mean, the only black candidate in the Democratic race was Denis Kucinich. Mm-hmm. He is gone. The only woman candidate was also Denis Kucinich. And he is gone, too. So I'm going to be voting for either Ralph Nader or Cynthia McKinney, depending on who is on the Wisconsin ballot. I cannot vote for Obama.
Well, thanks for checking in, Jay. Good hearing from you today. Let's go to Helsinki, Finland. Don?
Hi. Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Don.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay. Pretty good. I was listening to your show, and after an initial panic attack, I've come to the, I see the following that's basically happened. I don't think Obama really overwhelmed, but I think he was very steady, and that's the image he has to portray. He cannot come out as the angry black man mm-hmm. because that's going to turn off everybody.
Right. Yep.
He knows that. And he also knows, though, that McCain has established himself as a serial liar.
Mm-hmm.
And with each lie comes less credibility.
Yep. Again, after what he did on Letterman and exposed, caught in the middle of a lie right there on Letterman, it'll be a lot easier for the fact checkers to make their case about what everyone just heard tonight.
Exactly right. Yep. I've been reading just a little bit what's going on, and right now the media is going after Obama already. They're fact checking him. Mm-hmm. Not Obama, excuse me, McCain. They're fact checking McCain, saying that he's embellishing, he's taking things out of context. I think we need to just relax a little bit, and there's two more debates. Obama is like an athlete with this, building for the Olympics. He needs to peak at the end of October, and I do believe they're going to unleash everything and leave that lasting impression, because Americans, we have a very short attention span.
Yep.
And I think that is how this race is going to be won. Obama is not leading by his campaign being dumped. They're very smart. And they're playing to, I hate to use the word, his racial qualities. They have to play it like this, because Obama is not a white candidate. He can't come out angry and pounding the podium.
Exactly. Well said, Don. Thanks for your call, and thanks for checking in all the way from Finland tonight. Appreciate it. It looks like we got Joy back from Santa Cruz. Joy?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Phone died on me. I was just going to say, first to my friend Sanchez and Steve, Obama won tonight. Definitely won. Politico, which is primarily right-wing site, is already reporting 73% for Obama.
Wow.
So it's jumped up since you last discussed it. What I think is going to come off of the American people is not whether, you or I caught him in letting some lies pass by McCain.
Right.
But the body language of McCain and of Obama.
Mm-hmm.
McCain was hunched over, crunched over, looked angry. He didn't look very happy to be there.
Looked distracted, looked flustered at a number of points. Yeah,
and he kept on having kind of this, like, almost to the point of rolling his eyes on certain issues, on certain points that Obama would be making. And he wouldn't look at Obama directly. Obama, on the other hand, came off as cool, collected, poised, and elegant, which he is. I have to say, that's the word I have for him, because he's a very elegant man. And he was attentive to the questions. He was friendly to Lehrer. He would always, make a little comment to him. He looked like he was engaged and that he was really thinking about his answers. Whereas McCain just came across, he pulled out his old onion that he wears on his belt.
Which is his style at the time.
Yes, I guess it was in the back in the 20s. Yeah. But it was a yellow onion, because they didn't have any other color onions. But McCain looked angry. He looked, all he could really do is pull out a bunch of old stories.
Yeah,
that we've all heard
a little history
before.
Lesson. And he was a POW. And when I went to what's a country to talk to this guy,
yeah. I mean, I don't think that he composed himself well at all. And all the online voting, which I won't call them a poll, but CNN, all these different MSNBC, everyone is saying that McCain is losing.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama is winning. And we only need two more debates, and I think it'll be decided.
Yeah. Well, and again, what we're seeing from the McCain camp, from his campaign this last 2 weeks. And again, we got Sarah Palin's debate next Thursday?
I'm looking forward to that one.
Is that going to be insane? So, hey, Joy, it looks like you get the last word. Thanks for calling in tonight.
Okay, have a great night.
Great night to everyone. Thanks to Ian Huff. Everything you heard came through his nimble fingers. Thanks to David Newt for working the phone. Thanks to all of you for participating in our little discussion tonight. Thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy. An honor to sit in the chair. Hold on this time slot tonight. Have yourselves a great weekend. Obama won.